Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church for this service of worship. Whether this is your first time, your seventh time, or your 7 times 77th time, I hope that you feel welcomed in this space. We would love for you to register your attendance with us. You can do that in a couple of different ways. There are pew pads at the end of your aisle, if you could pass that and note your attendance, or scan the QR code that is located on the back of your bulletin. You can enter in your information that way. Tonight is our Tizay service of worship that starts at 5 p.m. in this space. December 1st, I can't believe I'm making announcements about December 1st, but it's coming. And it happens to be the first Sunday of Advent. And during this Advent, we will be exploring the theme, Messages of Hope. If you'd like to offer some hope or some joy to college students, they are collecting gift cards for college care packages, and there are details about that in the bulletin. December 1st is also the registration deadline for the trip to Guatemala. I lead that trip along this year with Reverend Amy Baxter. I would love for you to come with us. If this is something you're even remotely interested in, please talk to me. I would love to share more about this beautiful country, the beautiful work we do, and the beautiful people in Guatemala. I saved this one for last so that I could get through the others. Our church offices are going to be closed tomorrow, Monday, from 11:30 to 3:30, so that all of us that would like to go can go to the celebration of life for our beloved staff member, Julie Catterton. We are very grateful that the church office will be closed, but we wanted to let you all know that the church office will be closed. The preschool will not. So if you are preschool, that will still be open. Quiet Place will still be running. We will have our security in place to help with Quiet Place. But the church offices will be closed from 11:30 to 3:30 so that we can go to Julie's service. Today, we dive into Hannah's story. Hannah's story is one of grief, hope, prayer, and longing. And may we open our hands and our hearts to feel with her this day as we prepare to worship the God who loves us always.
Oh, worship printed in your bulletin. We lift our eyes up to the hills. Where does our help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord be with us in our coming and in our going,
on this day, in this hour, and forevermore.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and that God's love, mercy, is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God.
God of the forgotten and brokenhearted, thank you for your presence with us in our sorrow and pain. Thank you for remembering the deepest desires of our heart and for being with us amid our confusion when they don't work out. Help us to be a people who recognize sadness in one another and are swift to lessen the burden. Forgive us when we harden our hearts to each other and you. Work in us to be agents of peace and healing, hope and joy, through Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Lauren LeSturgeon and Richard Swore bring their son before God and the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price.
Many of you know this, but both Lauren and Richard were baptized in this very spot, and now they bring their son, and they were also married here, so that's really exciting. Lauren and Richard, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his faith, and promise to serve him in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people?
We do.
And Richard and Lauren, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly and lead a Christian life? If so, say we do.
Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this precious child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death, resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. And so pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child to receive it, to wash away sin, clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen.
What name is given this child?
Sammy McLester.
See the water? Sammy McLester, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, if you'll put your hands on Sammy, we'll pray the Holy Spirit prayer. Sammy McLester, you being born through water and the Spirit, may you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to hand this to you. Thanks, Sammy. And we're going to do Ask And I get the joy of bringing Sammy out to meet you. They said he prefers this, so if y'all are like, why is she not holding him over her shoulder? This is why. And I also wanted him to get a good look at all of you. I want to mention two things while I'm walking him out so that y'all can all see this beautiful, baptized, beloved child of God. One is that we actually had water in the font from their wedding day. It was raining on their wedding day, and a thoughtful family member thought to collect that, and that was all part of the water that we just used to baptize little Sammy. This beautiful, beautiful baptismal gown was made by Sammy's sixth great aunt in 1840. I'm a little nervous holding it. And he is now the seventh person to be baptized, or sixth person to be baptized in it. So this beautiful, beautiful child in this beautiful, beautiful dress is y'all's. We are responsible. We might be his confirmation mentor. We might be his Sunday school teacher. But regardless, the fact that he's here and part of our family means we have an obligation to pray for him, to love him, and to cherish him.
Rise in body or in spirit and open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Sammy McLester. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Sammy McLester to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Sammy McLester, and we welcome you in Christian love as members of his family, in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me for the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 4 through 20. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely, to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow: "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you and Nazirite it until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant this petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
All right, I want to invite all the kids in the sanctuary to come forward. I apologize in advance for my voice. I am getting over a cold. Good morning, friends. Oh, Sammy's coming to join us too. That's great. Okay, friends, raise your hand if you've ever been sad. How about out there in the congregation? Raise your hand if you've ever been sad. Yeah. In today's story, Hannah was really, really sad. She was being bullied, and she really, really wanted a baby. But she didn't have one. And I think both those things would make me sad too. What's something you do when you're sad? What's something you do when you're sad?
I hurt myself.
You what?
When I
When you hurt yourself, that makes you sad, yeah? When you feel sad, do you cry sometimes? No. No? Yes? Do you go talk to somebody about what's making you sad? Yes. Yeah? Do you talk to God about what's making you sad? Yeah? Do you ask for a hug? Who likes hugs when they're sad? Yeah. I think most of us like hugs when we're sad. So when we're sad, we can do all of those things and lots of other things to remember that God is with us and that we are not alone. Yeah. We are loved even when we're sad. So will you pray with me? Will you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for your love. Thank you for being with me when I am sad. Help me come to you and to the people who love me. Help me to trust you with all my hopes and all my feelings. Amen. All right. If you are 3, 4, 5, or in kindergarten, you can go with Pastor Will and Hampton to Children's Church. Everybody else can go back and join your families or friends. So, as I said, I'm getting over a cold. I'm going to do the best that I can. Please bear with me. We're at the beginning of the book of Samuel, but before Samuel's story begins the next chapter for the Israelites people, we have Hannah. That's where we start in this book. A short word of warning. Hannah's story is one of infertility and childlessness, which can be a difficult subject for those who have lived with or are living that journey. If that's you, please know that you are loved and you are seen. And if this topic is too painful, please feel free to do whatever you need to do to take care of yourself today. As a reminder, it's not often that we have stories of named women in the Bible, so that makes each one really significant. Hannah's story is one of grief, of longing, bullying, and suffering. You see, Hannah longs for a child, a son. She's the wife of Elkanah, and has another wife also, Peninnah, who has many sons and daughters. She has fulfilled her role in the family, and she's rather smug about it. She repeatedly insults and puts down Hannah for her inability to have children. Hannah's bullied in her own household. But you see, Elkanah loves Hannah. And so perhaps Peninnah is jealous of that love, while Hannah is perhaps jealous of Peninnah's children. So it's not exactly a peaceful household. Hannah lives with this longing, with this grief over her body's failure to carry a child, with this suffering from her rival. These feelings may be familiar to you. I know they are to me. I've definitely experienced bullying. I've experienced longing. I've experienced grief. Hannah's grief at this point is also sort of hard to name because she hasn't lost a child, or at least the story doesn't give us that detail. She isn't grieving the death of a parent or a spouse. Her grief is tied up in her hope and her longing. This kind of grief that doesn't seem to have an obvious cause is sometimes called disenfranchised grief. Disenfranchised grief is grief that refers to a loss that's not openly acknowledged, socially mourned, or publicly supported. It's very real, but unconventional. It's not a new term, but we began to talk more about it during the pandemic with the loss of certain rituals, milestones, trips, experiences, and more. People deal with grief in so many circumstances that are not the death of a loved one, whether that is a lost job, a lost friendship, unmet expectations for the future, the cancellation of a favorite TV show, or losing our favorite toy for a trip we always wanted to take. We grieve in lots of ways. Hannah grieves for the child she doesn't have and desperately wants. She grieves for her situation where she is bullied and shamed, and her community disregards her and overlooks her because she failed to fulfill her primary role as a woman. And yet this story will end with Hannah getting exactly what she prays and longs for. She gives birth to a son. However, Hannah's value doesn't change because the end of her story changes. Hannah has value right now simply for being. Society was wrong to tell women, society is wrong to tell women that they are valuable only in their role as mothers. We are all beloved children of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 says. We are important to God just as we are. Hannah is important just as she is. I saw a quote recently that said, "Someone's inability to see my worth does not diminish my inherent value." Peninnah can't see Hannah's worth, but God does, and we can. We can name Hannah's belovedness, and we can name our own belovedness too. So the family goes to Shiloh to offer sacrifices, but Hannah is too brokenhearted to eat at the feast. She goes back to the house of God and begins to pray. She weeps as she asks God for a son and promises to give him back to God as a Nazirite if God would only grant her this request. She prays silently, but her lips are moving as tears pour down her face and she pours out her soul before God. Eli, the priest, misunderstands what's happening. He accuses her of being drunk and rebukes her. And this insult is one more in a long line of insults Hannah has had to bear and can no longer. So she stands up for herself. She tells Eli off a little bit and tells him the truth. And he listens and offers her a blessing and sends her on her way. She goes home. She gets pregnant and gives birth to a son she names Samuel. Hannah's prayers are answered. But what about those of us who are still in that place of grief or longing? What about those people who pray and pray and pray, and the answer is no? Does God love Hannah more? Was her prayer somehow better? No. God loves each and every person unconditionally. God is with us always. God was with Hannah in her grief. God weeps with us when our hearts break. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." We are not alone. There are so many people who have sat or are sitting in places of grief and hope and longing and expectation and uncertainty. I think of the Israelites, enslaved in Egypt and suffering, crying out, "How long, O Lord?" I think of the refugees around the world, sitting in camps, wondering, waiting, hoping for a new place to call home. I think of people waiting for the phone call or message from the doctor with their test results. I think of people facing daily violence or war, wishing, hoping, praying for their loved one to come home at night, for the fighting to stop, for peace and safety. I think of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s mountaintop speech just one day before he'd be assassinated. He talked about the long and difficult days ahead for the struggle for racial and economic justice. He prophetically talked about how we might not get to see the promised land of the land of freedom and justice and equality he hoped for. But he had been to the mountaintop, and God had shown him the promised land that he longed for. And yet he acknowledged that it probably wouldn't be achieved in his lifetime. Sometimes, many times, we don't get the longings of our hearts. So what do we do then? Do we stop praying? Do we stop hoping? No. We have to learn to live in the in-between or in the next chapter. We have to figure out how to stay grounded in our faith and in God's love and presence. Ta-Nehisi Coates writes, "I did not tell you it would be okay because I have never believed it would be okay. What I have told you is what your grandparents tried to tell me. This is your country. This is your world. This is your body, and you must find some way to live within the all of it." So what do we do? Well, there are lots of ways to do this work, to live, learn to live with the beautiful and the terrible in this world. What works for me may not work for you, and vice versa. But here are a few practices that might help. Feel your feelings. Cry, yell, sigh, write, paint, draw, sing, dance, run, scream. Do whatever it is you need to do to safely express your emotions. Talk about it. Talk to God through prayer. Talk with a therapist or other professional. Talk with family. Talk with friends. Talk about it in community, in a support group. Whatever it is you need to process it. Do something. Our physical bodies need release too. Breathing exercises, yoga, running exercise, moving our bodies in different ways can help ground us and bring release or clarity. Find ways to serve others in your community or advocate for causes you believe in. These can connect us with others who share our feelings and our convictions, and they can help to bring change to our world. Above all, trust in God's love and presence. Trust that God is with us when we are hurting and hoping and longing. God is near to the brokenhearted. I wish I had a magic formula to make the longings of our hearts come true. I wish that I could say it will be okay. In truth, sometimes it's not. But I have faith that we are not alone, because we have this community of faith, and because God promises to be with us. So to those in the congregation who, like Hannah, are longing to be parents, you are seen, you are loved, you are beautifully and wonderfully made, you are enough. To those in the congregation longing for healing, to those longing for a particular job or event to come, to those longing for transformation or change, to those longing for hope, to those longing for community, connection, belonging, whatever your longings may be, you are seen, you are loved, you are beautifully and wonderfully made, you are enough. Our affirmation of faith that we say every week reminds us that we put our trust in a God who loves us and is with us, and therefore we are not ever alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join me in embodying and saying out loud those very words. They're printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified, risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them out loud or hold them in our hearts. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. If you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. We ask that you would take note of the congregational prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep all of these names and situations in your heart throughout the week. A rose on the table celebrates the birth of Alfred Greenlee Wiegand to Jane and Martin Wiegand on November 8th. Fred is also welcomed by his siblings, Francie, Tripp, and Nell. And now we gather to grieve as a congregation. The memorial service for Elizabeth York Gerlach, who passed away on November 1st, will be held this Friday, November 22nd at 1 p.m. at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 10:30 a.m. And as I noted earlier, our friend and beloved West End staff member, Julie Catterton, passed away this week, Wednesday, November 13th. Her memorial service will be held on Monday, November 18th, in the chapel at her home church, which was Brentwood United Methodist, at 1 p.m. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 11 a.m. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, sometimes we pray the same way that Hannah prayed. With lips moving, no sound coming out, our hearts weary with grief, our souls plagued with longing. How long before the dreams we had of what our lives would look like will be fulfilled? How long will we have to wait for you to do right by us, God? What if that never happens? God, we see the war in other lands. We grieve the egregious loss of life. We pray for an end to war. We hear of the suffering of our siblings who are sick, either in body or in mind. We hear the wails of grieving when loved ones die. We pray for your healing, and when healing is not to be, for your comfort and for your presence. God, we can feel the fear of those who are afraid of unmerciful or unjust policies against their bodies, their marriages, their immigration status. We pray for a just future where no one's lives are the victims of unmerciful policies. We taste the bitterness of our own longings yet to be fulfilled, longings for a family, for happiness when we are depressed, for a home of our own, for someone to love us when we feel utterly alone, for the one that we love to be well from addiction. And we pray even when we have no words to pray, knowing that you have asked for us to always leave our longings with you. And in these next few moments of silence, we give you the deepest longings of our heart in prayer. God, in all of this, we know that you are here. We know that you are with us and as close to us as our next breath. Thank you for loving us and always making yourself accessible to us in prayer, even when our words don't come. We pray all of this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God with gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on your screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. You may also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through the website. And as we pass the plates down the row to one another, may we all remember that God multiplies our gifts and beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
Whatever the longings of your heart are today, may you know that God is with you. You are seen, you are loved, and you are a child of God always. Amen.